Welcome to another message from the teaching team at Elevation Church Australia. For more information about our church, service times and locations, visit elevationchurch.com.au.
Well, this morning we have, as I mentioned before, we have the great privilege of Pastors Chaz and Fran Gulo with us. They have been with our movement, our denomination of INC, International Network of Churches, for over 30 years. That would be correct, isn't it? Easy, over 30 years. I think I first met Chaz when I was back in Maitland near Newcastle. So that is probably 20 plus years ago. And these guys have just been incredible ministry and blessing right across the country, right across our movement. Chaz will talk about a few books that he has afterwards, but they literally wrote the book on pre-marriage counseling, which just to show some years of, we did when we first got married, we did the old cover version, and then we have done subsequently with all the couples that we have done pre-marriage counseling with. So incredible ministry, incredible people and character that have stood the test of time, that have five amazing grown adult children that are, you know, in all four corners of the world doing amazing things. And so it's our absolute privilege to have you, Pastor Chaz and Fran. We're so glad that you're with us here this morning. And so I know that we all sat down, but it's good for our thighs and it's good for just generally, you know, we're going to stand and we're going to honor the Word of God and we're going to honor the minister of the Word of God. So why don't you stand to your feet, hands together, as we welcome Pastors Chaz and Fran up with us. That would be great.
I shall start. Okay. Please take a seat. Marty and Rachel, thank you so much for the honour of being here with you today. It's really very special to us indeed. And quite honestly, it's awesome to be in an environment, in an atmosphere like this today that is life-giving and transformative and full of faith and healing and blessing. And I never take it for granted. I'm a Jesus girl, a God church, local church girl for 41 years, and every Sunday for me is life-giving, and I never, ever, ever take for granted the local church. It is the most wonderful institution on the face of the earth, is it not? And, you know, I just felt God gave me just a brief word of encouragement for you as a church community today, and it is, get prepared for growth, 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 growth. And the scripture I had for you guys is from Isaiah, I believe it's Isaiah 54. It talks about enlarge and strengthen and expand and stretch out the borders of your tent and do not spare. And I just really, really feel that in the Holy Spirit today, that that's a word for you guys, that just get ready for the growth. Have a growth mentality, a growth mindset, because there's people in our community who need what we have in here. We don't want it to be the best kept secret in town, do we? And, you know, we just love and honor your pastors. We've known them for so many years. And church, God has blessed you with a wonderful couple who are integrous and passionate and full of faith. And, you know, together, I think you're going to have just a wonderful journey, a wonderful ride together in the Holy Ghost, and just see there's nothing impossible for God and what He can do in your lives individually and as a community. And I just think the future's looking great, and I'm very excited for you both. So God bless you, and let's get ready for a great word. My favorite preacher on the planet is Mr. Gulo.
Thanks, Fran. I pay you to say that all the time, of course. But thank you, West Australia, for accepting your pastors' promotion from the east to the west. We should know it's a much higher standard here. You know that, don't you? Because I heard over in Western Australia, you've got to have a university degree to get married. Because when you get married, the man loses his bachelor and the woman takes on her master's. But it's wonderful being in the presence of God today with you, and I'm here to share on a subject your pastor asked me to talk about. And it's about the gender, the battle of the genders. So we've got a first slide going up. The show is a little issue that takes place in today's world. First slide. Here we go. Oh, no, not up yet. Here we go. I hope your relationship with your spouse and your family member is not like that, because I want to show why it's probably happened and God's answer to it. Let me pray. Father, thank you again for your word, because in your word we'll find all the keys to life. Every one of them. Father, for growth, for health, for finance, for relationships, for family, for impact upon our cities, all there in the word. And I just pray tonight as I take out one part of it, that will leave an impact upon the lives of many, for your glory. In Jesus' name I pray. There's a political debate over genders. We hear about gender equality, fluidity, binary agendas, non-binary, transsexual, intersex identity, all this gender issues that are actually in our political scene at the moment, and we wonder where it started. And some people may think that it may have started about 2,000 years ago when Paul talks about, in Ephesians chapter 5, about a subject called woman submit to your husband. Or it may have started 6,000 years ago when this lady called Eve had an encounter with a snake, and there's some tensions took place. There were two wars. One was between the snake and Eve, another between Adam and Eve. But the Adam and Eve one was solved very quickly, because when a naked wife offers her husband food, the battle's lost already. And it was lost there. But the other battle between... It's true. The other battle between the snake and Eve was this. It has precipitated a continuous tension, like an underground fault line of mistrust that is today still out working in sexual and domestic violence, human trafficking, female genital mutilation, the slaughter of the innocent unborn, abuse and exploitation of children, and the breakdown of family values. I want to say here today, there's no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. This may be your first or your fourth marriage. You may have had some of these sins against God in your past. Each one has been forgiven, and you stand today as a clean vessel before God. And as I share things today, I don't want anyone to ever feel condemned that you may have failed. May have failed. You probably haven't. You probably was astray. Don't do these things. I'm pretty happy if you hadn't. But if you have in the past, that's the past. Today is a start. And I pray that today's word will encourage every one of you, every one of us, to be able to grab hold of the simplicity of God's word, but the powerful God's word that can change your life and give you a new future. And that's my prayer today. In the book of Ephesians chapter 5, if you come with me today, you'll see this scripture which tells us a lot about St. Paul, who was the great philosopher, the great apostle, the great theologian of the Christian church. He wrote things down which can tend to be a bit difficult to understand. But I pray today we might bring this out with some freedom. It says this in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22. It says, "Wives, submit to your own husband as to the Lord. For the husband is head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church, and he is the savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is submitted to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husband in everything. Husband, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of the word of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or having anything, but that she might be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one can ever hate his own body, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church. For we are members of the body, of his flesh and of his bones. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let each one of you be in particular so love your own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband." I want to bring out two things here. There's a challenge between the responsibility of a man towards his wife and a wife towards her husband. And God gives us some indicators and some barometers to go by. One of the things that's most important, he says here that a man will present himself a wife without spot or wrinkle by the washing of the word. Let me say this very clearly. Husbands and wives, men and women, your words will create your world. Are your words going to wash or are you going to wound? Are your words going to bring healing or hurting? Are your words going to bring a blessing or a beating? And we see the tension that rises in relationships around the world because words are often used as weapons rather than washing. And we can actually create a whole new sphere in our marriage, in our family, with our children as well, in our marketplace, wherever we are, by the way we use our words. And God wants us to bring them into captivity to God. Now, there's a parable, an allegorism that goes through three of the Gospels that talks about a strong man protects his goods until something stronger comes along and takes that strong man out, then the goods can be plundered. Husbands, mums, do you want your kids plundered by the enemy? Do you want your marriage plundered by the enemy? Do you want sickness to come into your house? How about poverty? Because there is an enemy out there trying to bring about a disruption to your lifestyle. And the strong man wants to come, and his name is Satan, but Jesus, a stronger man, came along and destroyed him on Calvary. And we stand in the fruit of that. But the strong man must know that he is responsible for what he has been given. Dads, husbands, you've got the strength of your family to protect. And I'm going to show you today how simple that is because what Christ has ordained you to do. In the Word of God, if God's Word is not true, we may as well go home now and just forget about anything. But God's Word is true. It's been proven and stands true. And I'm a testimony to what's happened in our life because I stand here as a failed husband and a failed father until Christ got hold of my life and turned me around. And the stuff I write is not because of what I've done, it's because of what Christ has done in me. But I know that the power of the washing of the word is so real that God wants us to appreciate what we have in this thing called our mouth. Then verse 33, it talks about, verse 32, he says, Paul says the relationship between the church and Christ. There's a bride and a groom related there. And it talks about two things. There's two major emotions that we need to know are important for a marriage or any relationship. One, do you feel secure in it? And two, do you feel accepted in it? Men, we want to make sure our wives accept us. We like that when they accept us, don't we, guys? But a woman needs to feel safe to be able to accept you. And the church knows what it is to feel safe in eternity because Christ has paid the price and given us eternal life. And what God asks from us, will you accept me? See, security is traded with acceptance. When I accept Christ as my personal Lord and Savior, which I assume most of us have, and or if you haven't today, you get an opportunity to do that. Once you've accepted Christ as your Savior, it's because He's offering you and me eternal security. Eternal security. He wants to offer you security in your marriage, in your family, in your finance, in your health. He's offering this not only naturally, but eternally. We have this exchange that's taken place, and God wants us to walk in that. Here's some other scripture you may have heard about. It's in 1 Corinthians 11, 10. It talks that the woman has to wear a symbol of authority on her head. And that's always been a structure. Girls used to wear hats to church once, and you're sitting behind them. You're doing this all the time. You remember that? There's one of our friends, she's been coming to our church on the Sunshine Coast recently, she wore a hat, and I says, are you still in the Old Testament? She said, she looked at me with a strange face, she took it off. I couldn't see. But it wasn't referring to hats. Hats was an English way of keeping the woman in submission. I'm going to talk about submission shortly. But he says, the woman needs to have a statement of authority over her head because of the, who knows the scripture? Because of the angels. Fallen angels. You see, women, you get attacked more readily by the demonic world than guys do. And you need to have protection over you, which I'm going to show you very shortly how God does that. Another scripture says in Numbers chapter 30, the dads cover their wives and daughters. Dads, you had a lot of authority in God's kingdom. That you are covering your protection over your wives and daughters, and you're meant to be there to make them safe and keep them in a place where they'll make wise decisions and not be foolishly led astray. Numbers chapter 10. And then John, this scripture challenged me for so long. John chapter 19. Who knows the story where Jesus is on the cross? He's up there. He's nailed. Who does he see down below but his mother and his friend John? And what does Jesus say to John? John, behold thy mother. And to Mary, his mother, he said, Mum, behold thy son. What was he doing on this cross, crucified here, talking to a friend, not even one of Mary's children? John wasn't one of Mary's children. All of Jesus' brothers and sisters didn't believe in him. But John was the apostle, the beloved one. He was there at the cross, and he says, behold thy mum, behold thy son. Right here, there was a transfer of covering from Jesus to someone who looked after her. And he gave it to someone who was a believer, not to his brothers who weren't believers. This changed later on, if you know the story, but James, Jesus' half-brother, became the Bishop of Rome, Bishop of Jerusalem eventually. So there was a change. But at that moment, the son, because Mary was a widow, Jesus, being the eldest brother, he was called to cover his mum and his sisters. That was his responsibility in this role. And so from this cross, he had to give responsibility over of his mum to someone who trusted John. And he said to mum, behold thy son, here is your covering now. There he was, handing it over, because there's something in this covering that I hope I can bring across to all of us today. Now you might say, didn't say to the sisters, well, they're probably married by this stage, because in Jewish culture, people married much younger than what you do over here. I remember my son Jonathan, he was 15 at this stage. He's a pastor of the church. We handed over to him. And he was in the plaza. We have a very big Christmas plaza over in Sunshine Coast. And it was just teeming with people. And there was a scuffle taking place. He was amongst the crowd, amongst the youth people. And this big 6'4" security guard had come along, and he was trying to move crowds around. And there were all these youth there, and he was a bit angry with the young ones not obeying him. So he actually picked up this young girl. She was only a slight thing, wasn't blonde, we don't know her at all. And picked her up around the chest and touching her parts of her body. He shouldn't be getting anywhere near her. And he was actually throwing her around like this. And she was screaming. She was literally screaming. And everyone was standing around looking at this thing happening. He was moving around this girl in his arms. And my son's standing there and says, no one's doing anything about it. Who's looking after this girl? Now, my son Jonathan's only 5'8". He's a slight boy. And this guy's 6'4". And my son says, no one's doing anything. I better do something. So he walks up to the guy and says, excuse me, sir. You shouldn't be doing that to that lady. And this guy says, who are you, mate? And just smacked my son into the face with his hand and grabbed his shirt and pulled it up. And this caused more commotion. And the police came in. And the whole place was then settled down after a while. But this lady was quite badly assaulted by this occasion, so she, under the direction of the police, says, take this guy to court. And so, racing forward, they get to the court case, and my son's called a star witness, and the defending barrister who was standing for the security guard, when my son came up, he said to him, young man, do you know this girl? He says, no. Did you know the security guard? He says, no. I said, what were you doing there being a troublemaker in the situation? And my son said, in our family, my parents taught me that we respect girls, we don't abuse them. The barrister said, no more questions, Judge. The case was won. The guy went for 2 years good behavior plus fines. And of course, they won. There's something about the responsibility the man has towards a woman. But what happened, this word submission? Did we empower men, males, to understand it wrong, or did we misunderstand what it meant? Let me tell you what the word submission means, ladies. You'll like this one. The military, this word came from a military understanding in the Greek, where the team that protected and trusted each other and not controlled each other. Look at this slide. Next slide. I'm looking at the slides because I can't see on the screen back there. That's what women often think submission means. I'm actually tied up. I'm so controlled that I can't do a thing, and I've just got to obey what the husband says. Now, that's not really a Christian understanding of submission. A woman there does not feel loved, She does not feel respected. She does not feel safe. She feels controlled. Let me tell you what it should look like. Next slide, please. This fireman, you see, he's covered. He's covered by his fire gear. Does that fire gear control him or protect him? Is he able to be a better firefighter with that gear on, or is he a weaker firefighter? That's what covering is. I protect him so they can be the best. Here's the next one. I'm in that regalia fairly often. Does the mask and the gowns and the gloves control the doctor from performing, or does it enhance her ability to perform? Protection is meant to protect. Sorry, covering is meant to protect, not control. And when someone feels like I'm now being encouraged to be my best, then I can be this Proverbs 31 woman that God wants me to be. Because when I'm under the protection of my spouse, when I'm under the out of the straitjacket into a place where I am feeling protected like a doctor or a fireman, now I know that I can do what I want to do. See, the devil is always looking for gaps. A gap in the gowns, the mask, the gloves can actually cause disease. You can pick up the person's disease when you're operating. A gap in the fire gear can actually get you asphyxiation because smoke can get inside and do damage. The covering is always meant to protect. The gaps is what the devil looks for to be able to destroy or actually bring you in a place of control and stop you being the person God wants you to be. God loves people getting their understanding in the right place. So ladies, everyone here, you can be as much of a Proverbs 31 woman as you want to be when you know you're protected and not in control. My wife and I, our first daughter-in-law, she's social worker. And I was sharing this with her a number of years ago. And she said this to me. She said, Chaz, she said, don't control a wife's emotion, but protect her to empower her to control her own emotions. She was actually struggling with the whole idea that when a woman goes through that times that guys don't quite understand, none here in this town, I know that, when women can be irrational somewhere in the west, on the eastern side of Australia. And in that irrationality, usually associated with some hormonal issues that only them over there have and not over here. But when those things happen and a woman's appearing to be irrational, and it can happen through many reasons, a man's not meant to control her and try to suppress her. He's meant to protect her so she can actually work through her own emotions and then win. And Karen, the social worker, saying, Dad, when a husband protects her from herself so that she can actually work through the emotion, she actually comes out the winner at the end. But if she's controlled in this emotion, there can be tensions and create conflict, which actually ends up being combat. And what we don't want is combat in our relationships. See, the combat is what we want to avoid. Parents, mums and dads, with your kids, the same thing. When we realize that we're to protect and not control them, we now let them grow in a safe environment to achieve the things that God wants them to have. When a child can flourish in a beautiful place. If we control people, we actually close them down. We want to see the blossom, the rose come to full fruition. We don't want to see control and close down. And God wants us to understand that we're called to that wonderful thing. Come with me to our last scripture, Matthew chapter 23. Look what Jesus says. Or even verse 37, he says, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, one who killed the prophets and stoned those who were sent to her. How often I wanted to gather you, your children together, as a hen gathers her chicks under her wing, but you were not willing. See, your house is left to you desolate. For I say to you that you shall see me no more, till you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Jesus is painting a parable here about the protection of a mother hen over her children, her chicks. What a chicken does, or what a hen does, and I've observed this, I was a young boy living in North Queensland, and we had chicken pens in our backyard, was that when there was attacking hawks, we had hawks there, we don't have eagles. You probably have drones here in West Australia, so advanced. When the hawks are coming around the chicken pen, the mother hen will actually puff her wings out like that, and she'll have a sound. And give this sound, this chicken sound, which calls the little chickens to come under her wings. And in that place, because she looks much bigger, the hawk is far more reluctant to actually attack her because she's so big there. And what is covering those chickens is a mum. And those children are now covered, protected, not controlled. And he said, how I wanted to bring you under my wings, but you wouldn't come. I was calling you, I was sending prophets to call you to come from the damaging spiritual forces and foreign forces that want to come and attack you, but you wouldn't come. You wouldn't come because you would fail to listen to the warning, because there are attacks coming against us in our society, at our marriages, at the wombs, in the whole structure of this world, trying to rip away our gender identity. There's such attacks coming at us that we've been destroyed because we're letting the enemy have its way with us and not coming under the shelter of a mighty God. Jesus painted that story, and he's saying this, men, you're the strong man. You're protecting the goods God's given you. Your wife, your kids, not controlling them. You're protecting them. You're going to protect them. I'm going to show you 2 seconds how easy it is for that to happen. Because this is what happens is this. God has said this. He says, when he made you, he put you in dominion in the earth, not domination. Many people thought, I'm the dominator now. No, you're in dominion. Which means you are the servant now. I am in control, but not controlling. I am in a servant role to protect what I've been given and look after it. I put the boundaries. I know what comes in. Boundaries about what comes in and what comes out. It's about what you allow in and what you allow out. I'm the one in submission. I'm the one in dominion, because I'm the one having the boundaries about what people come, what comes into my life and what comes out of my life. In that place, I set the boundaries that look after my wife, my marriage, our health, our finances. Looks after our children, what comes in and out of their minds. I read what the children have been exposed to on their media, on their smartphone. By the way, it was called a smartphone, not a wise phone. It's not wise. And I'm meant to protect it, watch what's on the screens. All these things are for us to look at. And God's going to back, because guys, God's going to back you. And if God's on your side, guess what? Who can be against you? Come on. I'm ready and victorious because God's on my side. I should say I'm on his side. He didn't change for me, I changed for him. When I saw it happen, I saw the power of that happening. And so when I put myself in God's understanding, what the strong man is called to do, to serve, when I saw that and began to turn my words, turn my way I saw my marriage, where I saw my children, I began to see my life, I realized I'd missed it totally, because I was a dominating person, not in dominion. I was controlling and not protecting. And I was wondering why I was getting the fruit of tension and combat all the time. Why marriages fall over, why teenagers leave home, why mums and dads don't like each other, when they're just coexisting, when there's pressures around. All that is in our past. But today can be different, because God wants to set us free. So husbands, I want to show you something simple that you can do that's going to change your life around. It's how you pray for your wife. Darling, come on. This is going to take you a full 1 minute every day. Who can 2 minutes?
Praying for their wife.
Yeah, what were you saying, Fred?
I was just saying, because many men, we've even spoken to pastors who said, you know, I absolutely don't know how to pray for my wife. They can feel really intimidated, particularly if they think that their wife is somehow more spiritual than them. You know, there might be a man of few words. So this is a key that will really help us all. Come on.
So guys, get this. Don't forget, when you're praying, guess who you're calling upon? Calling upon God. And don't be disqualified, because you're not disqualified. I'm going to show you a very simple one. I've been a pastor a long time, and I might have some slightly more mature words or something when I pray. But there's three things you must remember. Number one is you thank God for your wife. Number two, you repent. That'll take you the longest.
Oh, yeah.
Number three, then you bless. This is how it goes. And this is what we often do. If my wife and I end up in bed at the same time at night, I'll pray for my wife like this, because normally she's later than me. So this happens every night? No, but
you're
most
the foul
nights.
I'm the
You're
the fowl, I'm the owl.
I'm the chicken, look after body. Well, let me look, pray. Let's stop praying. Look at me. Father, thank you for my wife. This daughter of yours you gave me to look after. Just thank you for the gift she is to me. A gift to my children. A gift to my household, a gift of joy, a gift of beauty. I can't thank you enough, God, for giving her to me. But Lord, I repent now for the times I haven't been the best son of yours to look after this daughter you gave me. I repent the time I raised my voice 40 times today. I repent of the times that I chose to ignore her when she asked me to do something. And Lord, I'm sorry. But now, Lord, I want to pray a blessing on her life. I bless the work of her hands. I bless the words of her mouth. I bless the desires of her heart. I bless the passions she has to serve you. I bless the influence she has upon our family, upon our children, our grandchildren. Father, I bless the pathway you set before her. I bless her health. I bless her mind, that she has a mind of Christ. I bless her will, that she has a will of the Father. And I bless her emotions, that they'll be in line with the fruit of the Spirit. And God, I thank you for the blessings she's to me in every way. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Father, what an honor and a joy to be able to share the good news with these wonderful people today. The good news that you love them. The good news that you paid the price for them. And no matter what they had done before they get here today, the rest of their life, that Jesus has already forgiven their sins. And today, Lord, may it be the first, the second or the third marriage, may have been the failures of children who are astray from God, whatever it is. But Lord, we can't change the past. We can certainly embrace the future. And so for those who may feel disqualified because of failure today, I just break that spirit of disqualification. For those who feel like, I don't know how to do that, Lord, I pray a revelation that you are behind them and empowering them. For those who have been hurt, abused in relationship, be it from past, from parents, from previous relationships, today I pray a healing. Father, pray over each one of them the best of your kingdom for them. Would you say this prayer behind, after me, church, this morning as we close the service? Just say, Father God, your word is true. Your words are a blessing. Your words are healing. Your words are washing. I receive that today. Your words will bless me and change me for your glory. In Jesus' name. Amen. Father, break the strongholds that want to come and hold people back. I smash them now in Jesus' name. And set these people free. Free. Father, young ladies have been abused. The wives that have been hurt physically and emotionally. Husbands who have been emasculated by condemnation. Today is healing for each one of them. And for those, Lord, who are looking forward to a wonderful future in marriage, Lord, I paint it is as good as you say it is, Lord. Encourage them for your glory in Jesus' name. With your head still bowed, is anyone here today that has never received Jesus? It's your first time, or you've been to church a while, but you haven't actually received Christ. And say you want to receive Christ. And if you want to receive Christ today and you've never received Him, you don't know God personally, but say you'd like to know God personally, you'd like to know the power of this gospel. That's you today. I'd like you to just raise your hand, just wave it to me and say, that's me, Chaz. I'd like to prayer to be introduced to Christ. Is anyone this morning that say it's me? Just let me see your hand. I'd like to pray with you and lead you to this wonderful relationship with the living God. Anyone who may have walked away from God and today you say, I want to come back and be with Him. Oh, yeah, thank you. I'm going to be praying for people at the end of the service very shortly, as I just want to introduce you to the resources my wife and I put together. There's a few at the back there if you want to avail yourself of them. They are. There's four bits of resources, and first one is called Design a Family. Most likely, I want to be politically correct now, you're most likely born a male or a female. And the Zaya family helps you to empower you to be a mature man and a mature woman to parent the next generation. That's what that's all about. Many people plan their wedding day, but this one here, Heavenly Gift of Marriage, will help you plan the marriage. And the wedding's only one day, but the marriage is 60 years, and that's what it's all about. And this one here for teenagers gives you a shortcut to God's way of getting inside your teenager's mind and world. That's really good. My wife's writing the other part of this. She's on the process of writing that, and they'll be put into a book rather than a booklet there. And this one here is Born 4BC. It's a great book for new Christians and seekers to introduce them to the teaching of the doctrines and history of Jesus Christ from His conception in Mary to His return. Connecting Jesus' story back to familiar Old Testament characters like Adam and Eve, Daniel, the lion's den, Samson, Delilah, Noah, and the ark, etc. And that was written for brand new Christians or people who are seekers, and they're available the most at the back. So my wife and I are available to pray for people this morning. If you've got really hurting wounds, if you just want to be blessed in your marriage, to just tweak that a little bit, you get on the path when freedom comes. If you want to be encouraged in your parenting today, just by us praying for you, be a graduate to pray with you. And I want to say God bless you all.